Hello. How are you?
Tired, but good.
Did you have the best time?
Oh my God, it was so. I was just saying to Emma before we came live, like, it was just me and my bestie. A couple of our friends, like, kind of dipped them in and out and joined us, like, randomly at points. But it was just me and my bestie having just basically 2 days acting like teenagers that are allowed to drink and
Good.
having the best time and just fucking around being dickheads, as you do. I
Go
loved
again.
it. Went to Cowarth Park, which is where James and I got married, which was kind of crazy. The guy when we checked in, the guy was like, "Anne, have either of you stayed with us before?" And I was like, "I got married here." And he went, "Oh my God, congratulations." And Julia goes, "They're not together anymore." And he was
Bad omen, actually.
like, you could see he was trying to get out of it so quick. He was like, "Oh dear, do you need anyone to show you around or do you know your way around?" We were like, "We know our way around." But it was really good. It was really nice. And they gifted us a bottle of champagne, which of course was drunk by lunchtime. It was fab. And how are you, Emsky? How was your weekend before my trip?
It was very nice. I went to Richmond Park, found some deer.
As sometimes happens in Richmond Park. Oh, there's a deer.
I had a really nice time.
You should go to Holland Park next, and if you
I've
go,
been. I've been.
but if you go at sunrise, I use the PT there like 3 mornings a week. I shit you not, like 5:30 in the morning. If you go at sunrise, the peacocks don't know why. They all nest in the trees. I really don't understand how they get up there because they can't fly, but they all nest in the trees. And at like 5:30 in the morning, they just fall out of the trees and then just start walking around. It's so confusing on so many levels, and I've never really understood it. And I'm like, I remember I used to be with my cat and be like, I just don't understand how they're getting up there. Like, they can't fly. Like, how are they doing it? But maybe they can fly to like a degree. Maybe they can
I mean,
fly.
you just warm into a tree,
Maybe.
just fall
But
out.
they just fall out of it. It's like, boom, you look over and there's a peacock. You're like, okay, then. Anyway, right, let's move on.
Do you know what? That's worth getting up at 5 in the morning to go and see.
It honestly was, it's a highlight of my PT days, without a doubt.
Did you have to pay to train in? Did you have to pay to train in that park?
No, you can. I used to PT in parks as soon as I could get out of studios. The studios are crap, but they're good when it's cold and it's raining and da 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 for everyone, PT and client. But they're also just crap because it's like, if you're going to be, can I at least have a full rack of dumbbells? They never have anything. But I used to love it in the summer months because I wouldn't have to pay, and I had like a little Ford KA, and the boot was filled to the brim with weights and like a crate carrying, like, I don't know what they're called, the big wheelie things that you tip up and you carry in. And I just used to load it up.
Wheelbarrow.
Not a wheelbarrow, because they're like, it's like for like produce,
Okay, no, you mean.
So I just used to like stack all my weights and everything on there and just wheel it into the park. I learned the hard way that you can't manual labor and PTing all day every day is not good for you. And then I just used to set up a whole thing of weights and a few mats, even if it was just one client, and I would just go. And it was really fun, actually. Constantly needing to wee in London, it was not fun, but everything else was fun.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Things like that you don't really think about, do you?
But I
Although
find
I know
it.
that if you want a PT on Hampstead Heath, they try and make you buy a permit.
I'm not surprised, but those
But
fuckers
you
can
will try and monetize anything.
anything.
Like, just
But
let us. Yeah.
well, I would never train someone on Hampstead Heath, a Heath extension that's right opposite my parents' house, and it's big and it's flat and it's open, and there's never any like Heath workers there. But also, nobody wants to train on Hampstead Heath. It's too like hilly and
Yeah,
dangerous.
that's why you do like hill sprints, and there's always like boot camp there, isn't there?
I mean, I don't think I've ever been on like the Heath and not tripped over a tree branch, so I just wouldn't risk it. I wouldn't risk it for a biscuit. Do you know what I find really interesting though, is how many people now are like just become online coaches without ever having PT'd anyone in their life? And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, you have literally no experience on the ground. I just think it's really immoral and unethical.
Oh, see, I don't agree.
Do you not? I
No,
think it's
but
not right.
only, well, it depends what. Like, I think we probably do agree on this, but I'm only bringing it up because I had a big conversation with someone about this, and they'd like made this stance of like, if you were a shit in-person PT and you've moved online, you're probably a shit online PT as well, something like that, right? And I was like, I don't think I agree because like being like complete, I'm not even like dissing myself here, but like I was an okay in-person trainer. But I was nowhere near like one of the top in the UK. Like I was good, but like I wasn't amazing, right? And I'd say I'm a very fucking good online coach. And
True.
it's a completely different skill set.
Yeah,
Like
it
I'm not saying that there's not crossovers and that like having some in-person experience makes you a better online PT, but I don't think it's the same skill set.
is. I agree with you that it's not the same skill set, and I know I can completely understand what you're saying, where you're not being one of the best PCs in the UK, but certainly from my perspective, being one of the best online coaches in the UK. I still don't think, regardless of how good you are at either, that you should be venturing into training people online who you've never had to train in real life, because I personally don't think that you understand the spectrum of people that you're dealing with, having not done the former. We always say, right, when we first started off PTing, we were shocked that not everybody was like us. And you learn quite quickly how to engage with different clients, who needs the carrot, who needs the stick, who needs to laugh, who needs to cry. And you also learn how many clients really don't know their bodies? And I do mean in terms of physical exercise, but also everything. And it's a slap in the face. It's an awakening. I'd never know any of that shit if I just went right into online coaching. People are like, oh, I did, three full body workouts this week. I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't ask any questions because I wouldn't know. There's a huge gray area as, okay, what does that actually really look like for you as a
I
client?
do think I agree with the exercise side and even
Yeah,
just how to
absolutely.
program things and knowing what would work and what wouldn't work and what you might avoid for certain people and stuff like that. Like I think that's very hard to teach without practical experience. But then so much of what we do online is behavior change. Like if you're like, I am fundamentally a fat loss coach, I think like knowing more about behavior change as opposed to like exercise selection is probably going to be more important. Now I do
Definitely.
agree that if you had both, it would be even better. Which we
Yeah.
did.
Right.
Same.
Let's go. Off to the live we go.
Off to the live we go. Okay, Pam saying good morning from Utah. Samantha saying morning from sunny Denver. Okay, Jane. Hi, you amazing pair. Just want to say a huge thank you and my fellow cult members for amazing support and suggestions on my moaning post after my surgery. Lots of great suggestions. I've had a word with myself and I'm feeling much better, taking the pressure off, and actually went for three mega short walks in the sunshine on my crutches today. What a wonderful group we are, onwards and upwards.
I love that.
Love it.
Three short walks today on your crutches. That is brilliant. That's really doing what you can do, and that really will have such a big impact. Well done.
Okay, palm. Can you? I don't know why I said like palm. Okay, palm. Okay, palm. Can you talk a little bit about HIIT workouts, length, heart rate goals, length in high heart rate?
Okay, well, the first thing I would ask re HIIT workouts is why? Because for some people, they're going to be really beneficial, and for other people, they might actually hinder the goal. So, for example, if someone was really trying to gain muscle mass, gain strength in the gym, and they were smashing out HIIT circuits or HIIT cardio, I don't know, 5 days of the week, you're going to be impeding your recovery, and you're going to find that actually you're not going to be able to progress through the weightlifting or the muscle as quickly as you could, maybe if you were pulling that back a bit or changing it to low intensity steady state or moderate intensity steady state. That's the
She's
first thing.
saying, when you ask for why, she's saying cardiovascular fitness.
Cardiovascular fitness is a brilliant thing to do. How long you do it for depends on how adapted you are to it. So for beginners, honestly, doing 5 to 10 minutes is enough. And with HIIT, really, you want to be aiming for like 90% of your max heart rate. So that's kind of the ballpark that you want to be aiming for HIIT specifically, because it's high intensity. And if you are quite well, quite cardiovascularly adapted, I would say anywhere up to 20 minutes. If you're doing real HIIT, where you are hitting that kind of 90%-ish of your max heart rate, you really aren't going to be able to sustain or maintain it for longer than that. If you're doing kind of moderate to high intensity, you could probably go up to 45 minutes maybe, but even that's pushing it. And I would say, quite honestly, the best way to do it is, if I were you, after leg days, after big workouts where you're already pretty fucking taxed, and you're going to need some good recovery after that anyway. So maybe if you were to time a leg day with, let's say, 10, 15 minutes of HIIT before a rest day, that would probably be really good, really beneficial. And I say, certainly don't do it every day, because again, much like legs, you need some good recovery from HIIT. So every other day is enough. And those are really my thoughts on it. Emma.
Oh, I could talk about HIIT all day because it's what my research background is. But I think it really depends. A lot of the research is actually done on 1 minute on, 1 minute off protocols for 10 minutes. So it'd be 20 minutes, right? But that's not how a lot of people would deem HIIT. And I think it's often used as like a blanket term for like any kind of varying intensity exercise. Then what I find most interesting is the research on what they call SIT, so sprint interval training, which is like mega short. Like some of it's on 10 second max out sprints, and how actually that has a benefit to health. Now, most of the research around HIIT and the reason that it's so heavily researched, especially in the health area, is that the biggest barrier to exercise, or at least the biggest barrier people say that they have to exercise, is time. So if you can take that away and you can say, hey, within 5 minutes, if not three, if you were doing a sit protocol and you did a 1 minute warm up, 2 10-second max out bouts of exercise with like a 50-second break in between, like that's like a 3 minute thing that can improve your health every single day. So they're kind of trying to say, like, you've got 3 minutes, so you can do something. And I do remember asking, like, how would you progressively overload that? And what was interesting is they were like, the point isn't that, right? Because the point isn't exercise performance. It's more just like what you're looking for is a stimulation to your body. So really what you're doing in that 10 seconds of absolute max out, I wouldn't even look at heart rate. I'd be like 10 out of 10 on the RPE scale, like as hard as you can go. It doesn't really matter what's happening with your heart rate. That's almost a measure of what your effort is. So just think hard as you can go. What's happening there is you're being pushed so far out of what your body's like homeostatic range is that it has to adapt, right? So you're stressing it really highly. It's the same, like some of the same principles are why heat stress works or why cold exposure works, because you're pushing your body out of what it's used to. So then it has to adapt to that. But anyway, even as little as 2 10-second bouts of exercise has been shown to improve insulin sensitivity. And I think that is amazing. Now, when it comes to cardiovascular health, you probably want to do a little bit more. And something like a 1 minute on, 1 minute off type protocol is probably quite good. I also think Tabatas are really good. So 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off.
Yeah, I would say like with the 1 minute on, 1 minute off, to go for 1 minute, you already have to be very fit. And even if you are very fit and you do like win sprints and you're like really well adapted to it, even then I'm like, no one can do 1 minute of real high
No,
intensity.
yeah, they're not doing what you would deem as like
What we
max
would deem
out.
high. So I would say really push for like your absolute like maximal kind of output in. And I completely agree with the idea, within 10 to 20 seconds for like closer to your real hit. But yeah, like it's just this it you guys aren't like, as far as we know, professional competitive athletes. So it doesn't, we don't want to be too finickety about it, or pernickety, I should say. If you can do 1 minute on, 1 minute off, and you enjoy it, do. I think I like doing sprints on the stairs, and I think I can usually go between 20 seconds. And in the beginning, it's a lot more, and then it really catches up with me, and I have to slow down. But I like it; it's fun. I make a point not to do it every day, but I do enjoy it. And it's not really something that I'd program for with any of my clients. But if someone says to me, like, I kind of really like that feeling, like James loves it, Scott, who we're about to start doing some work with, loves it. There are some people out there who just love fucking up their body and work out; like, they just love it.
I do think that there's like an endorphin hit that you get from that kind of exercise that you don't from other kinds of exercise. And I
Definitely.
think if you're someone who, irrespective of whether you do all the other things right, so I'm actually thinking about women with PCOS or people with a South Asian background, which means that they're going to be at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, even if they're doing everything right. I definitely think adding in like a little bit of HIIT just to see if you can maximize insulin sensitivity for yourself, like it certainly isn't going to be a bad thing. And I, so what I would add, just a caveat about the research I was talking about with 10 seconds, is the way that they do that is on a very specialized bike. So you're already moving your legs really fast and it is like bam, intense from that 1 second, right? So if you were trying to replicate that in like on a normal bike or on a spin bike, I would be closer to what Chloe was saying, like 20 to 30 seconds. you're not going to be able to get that intensity up as quickly as they can with those specialized bikes.
Yeah, another good machine for hit is the ski erg. That will fuck you up. So I think James does like 20 seconds maximal output and then waits for his heart rate to come back down to like, I don't know, whatever. Like he doesn't wait for obviously to come back down to resting, but he comes back down to a certain percentage and then he goes again. Yeah, and he loves it. And some people do love training like that. And that is something Emma and I have to take into account as well, as the psychology of the client. What do you love doing? And how are you going to get bored doing this? Are you going to be, you know? So, yeah.
Pam's just saying, thank you about HIIT workouts. I think I'm on track hitting zone 5 heart rate, 90 seconds on, 60 seconds off on treadmill for around 5 intervals. I would probably swap that and go harder for the 60 seconds. Again, like so much of this is about specificity. If you were like, I don't know, I'm an 800 meter runner, I'd be like, yeah, maybe that makes sense, right? Like 90 seconds. But if, you know, it depends what energy system you want to utilize. If you're like, I really want the health benefits, you probably want to push your body like out of its comfort zone a little bit more with the HIIT side of stuff.
I would say push yourself harder and do 30 to 60 seconds somewhere in that bracket. Just on the stair thing, anyone who isn't already adapted to the Stairmaster, doesn't use it, like isn't very aware of their proprioception and their body on that machine, don't do what I just said, because you're gonna get hurt. Like do it. I would say a really good place to start is to really push yourself, like maximum output, as we said, on a machine that you're really comfortable on physically. Don't do anything stupid because you'll just get injured. I saw a girl nearly fall off next to me today and I was like, it was really scary, because if she had, she would have hit her head on the mirror. It's a really bad placement of them actually. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, when you're like, oh my God. And it's just like, just don't push it. She was trying to sprint on it and she just wasn't quite there yet. And she caught herself on the TV in front of her and she was like hanging on. She managed to like get her leg back up onto a step and then jump off. But she was so close to getting hurt. And I was like, just don't do it. Like, go on the treadmill.
Yeah. Okay. Can you please talk about powerlifting? It's a long-term goal for me, but not sure I'm ready to dive in yet. What things would I need to consider and be aware of? I think I'm strong, but maybe I'm actually really weak. You're really weak. This is Sam, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, you're definitely not. I think you'd be quite good at it, Sam, if I'm honest. You're very physical. You've got a lot of muscle mass. You know how to push yourself. You enjoy pushing yourself. I don't see why not. Like, why not? What do you want us to talk about? I mean, really, powerlifting, squat, bench, and dead. So what you would do is you would really have like 3 sessions a week that were dedicated to each one of those disciplines. And you would ideally, in session one, we'd want you to make sure you had a very experienced PT or a specific powerlifting coach with you to test your one rep max at that point. From there, they would program you based on how heavy you can lift at that point. But you really need, especially for squat, but for all of them, you really need someone there to monitor your body and your lift and to spot you. And from there they would program you. And what we would likely do is you would probably spend the first half of each session working on that discipline. And then potentially afterwards do some what they would call accessory work, which is things that would help you with that. So for example, doing, I don't know, triceps after bench press, for example, doing shoulders after bench press, for example, that kind of thing, to try and help you get better at that in terms of your hypertrophy in those areas. And also programming your recovery days is really important, and programming your periodization as a powerlifter, so important for recovery and progress. So those are my thoughts on it. Emma?
I think that, well, one cool thing is that a lot of people who have lost a lot of weight, and Sam, you've been like, you've done incredible things, like generally tend to be really strong because their body's used to carrying around all the time a lot of excess weight, right? So often people who have lost a lot of weight do become really good powerlifters. I agree. Like, I think in your initial post, you'd put something like, oh, not sure I can afford like training for a powerlifting coach at the moment. So what would your advice be? And honestly, I wouldn't be comfortable having someone that I've not coached in person doing one rep max. Like, I wouldn't be programming them for powerlifting unless they had, you know, experience previously, or I'd worked with them in person. So I would just be like a little bit silly of us. Well, actually just not safe of us to do that. So I wouldn't suggest doing that. At least to get like a few sessions in with a really good coach to check your form. They'll be happy enough to tell you like, yeah, okay, form's good. We can push. Because at the moment, and this is the other thing, most of you are lifting in a sort of like 8 to 10 rep range, 8 to 12 rep range. You're much less likely to get injured lifting in that rep range than you are doing a one rep max. Like the very definition of a one rep max means that your form is going to slightly go.
Yeah.
So you want to have really solid form before you get to that point. So yeah, I wouldn't be programming powerlifting style programming unless I knew that someone already had like really, really solid form.
Yeah.
What will change about your programming is just your rep range will go down, right? So now you have the specificity of your programming now needs to be the end goal is to lift as heavy as possible for one rep. So all your training is going to be geared around that.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to add. Agree with everything.
All right. We're up to date on the live.
Do you want to see a picture of Bodie at ballet the other day?
Yes.
So Bodie, the most hyperactive child in the world, went to ballet, which she obviously can't do because she's so hyper. We keep her doing stuff like this. And this is what she spent the whole half an hour doing.
Lying on the floor.
Well, she found the sofa, she lay on it staring at the ceiling and she wouldn't get off. I wasn't there, James was. He was like, she's not really moving. I was like, Bodie. And he was like, she's kind of lying on the sofa, refusing to get off it. I was like, what? I'm so unlike her. Anyway, so that was money well spent. I can't.
That's Maya... so funny. She's like running around, and then when the one time she
the one time we take her where she actually has to do something, she does fuck all. Classic.
I like the class on that though.
So funny. Immediately, James sent it to me. I was like, that's my screensaver. He was like, oh my God, me too. Okay. Okay, Karen Price. Karen, sorry, we're not doing second names anymore. Okay. Hi, Clemmer. Week two of the EC method. Are we only on week two?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like we're like halfway through?
I think it's because the launch is so fatiguing. It's like, oh my God. But then the last half goes so quickly and we're like, how the hell is it? Yeah.
Oh yeah. We're always shocked when it's week seven and we're like, wait, what? Okay. Hi Clemmer, week two of the EC method. One thing I am starting to notice is that I am (TMI) pooing less. I'm assuming this is because I've changed what I'm eating and I'm eating less bread, minimum of 5 fruit and veg a day, especially vegetables. I do not feel blocked, so I'm not concerned there. Does this tend to regulate itself out? (Brackets) Laughing so hard that I've asked this. Hey ho. My dad always says hey ho, even if it's something really awful, it makes me want to kill him. I'll be like, Dad, like my car just got stolen, and he'll be like, oh well, there's more to life than material things. Hey ho. And I'm like, I'll fucking kill you. Okay, so actually usually it's so annoying. Usually it works the other way around. But of course, really any and all changes to your diet can have any and all impact on your GI tract, your digestive system, and the happenings of your lower colon and rectum, shall we say. It will even itself out. If you do become concerned, really being quote unquote blocked, as you said, or feeling uncomfortable, I would recommend that you maybe pull back a little bit. Also, like in terms of like immediate things you can do that would help is water, caffeine, and maybe like a little bit of a fast in the hours. Like maybe if you were to wake up and just have 2 to 3 hours of water and caffeine, it'll probably clear you out. But really, if it does get uncomfortable, I'd pull back a bit on that added fiber. Emma?
I was just laughing about something else. What do I have to add to that? Not much. I mean, it depends what changes you've made to your diet. If you're like, if you're eating significantly less, including less food volume, then like, sure, you've eaten less, so you're going to poo less.
Yeah.
That might be the most basic thing. And if you don't feel blocked up and you're not having digestive issues, like I probably wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay, anything on the live?
No, we're up to date.
Okay, Sarah. Fuck, why do I find it so hard not to read the whole name? Sarah, hi. I hope you ladies are well. I'm absolutely loving the EC method so far, and I'm wishing that I'd done this sooner. Oh, we love hearing that. I've been a long time podcast lurker. Do you guys have any book recommendations for mindset shifts / healthy living? I've read Atomic Habits and I absolutely loved it. And I'm currently in the middle of Look Again. I feel like these sorts of books really spur me on. Thank you. Emma is your girl for this. I don't read these kinds of books. So, Emma.
I want to know if I recommended Her Look Again, because I've been loving that. I mean, I finished it now. Okay. Why Has Nobody Told Me This? Julie Smith. Very good. Master of Change, Brad Stolberg. Very good. Clear Thinking, Shane Parrish. Shout out to Sam. That was her suggestion. Very good. The Happiness Trap, Russ Harris. I think those are probably my favorites. The Happiness
Trap. You should put them in the group and pin it, because also I'm going away in May. So if you can, you do it in order of the ones you liked most, even though you like them all, and then I can grab a couple before I go.
Oh, The Expectation Effect. 100%. But yes, I will share these in the group.
Okay. Great question, Sarah. Well done. Okay, Kat. Hi. Just a quick question about DOMS. I've been lifting weights for about 12 months now. I try and lift to failure in most of my exercises. Sorry, I don't know why I've got like burps today. In most of my exercises, I find I'm still getting DOMS, particularly on leg days. I'm getting more than 100 grams of protein in a day and I sleep well. I normally do 3 sessions a week, pull, legs, push, with 20 minutes of Stairmaster afterwards, 11 to 12K steps a week. I think she means a daily average. Isn't it normal to get DOMS like this every week? And is there anything else that can help with this? Thank you. It is and it isn't normal. It really, everyone's different. I know that James still gets really bad DOMS after he trains legs, and he never hasn't, and he's got massive legs, and he's a professional, or was a professional athlete before he became a superstar DJ. Such a bitch. So it is and it isn't, and we're all different and we all respond differently. What I would say is, you're not training too much. I'd be interested to know, if I were you and this is a struggle for you, I would make sure that you potentially remove leg work from your push and your pull days and really just have it on a standalone leg day, which will give them more room to recover. I find with Stairmaster, and I've never met anyone else this happens to, I love Stairmaster. It's my favorite machine. And I find if I've had a really hard training week or fortnight or month, and I've been really hammering the Stairmaster, my legs get very fatigued very quickly in workouts. Not even when I'm lean, just walking up the stairs. And so I find that it really helps to come away from the Stairmaster and do something that's a bit, little bit less kind of lactic acid intense on my lower body for a period of days or a couple of weeks. And then I go back to it and it really allows them to recover. Make no mistake about it, guys. The Stairmaster's no joke. It's a very hard cardio machine to be on.
You know what? That brings out your Manchester twang. I think I'd say Stairmaster.
Yeah, that's my
like Stairmaster.
It's the only thing I've retained. Like back.
Yeah, that's. I think that's that. Like, there's only like one or two things I've ever heard you say that I'm like, yeah.
It depends. If I spend loads of time with my friend Lou, who's from Yorkshire, I go a little bit more northern, and the girls are like, what the fuck? They all think I'm faking it. I'm like, please. I think there's a lot of things I could fake that would make me cooler than like a twinge of a Mancunian accent.
Ooh, look at me, so edgy.
Southerners. I consider myself kind of a lot. I consider myself both a Manc and a Londoner, but I identify with both of them. But I have to say, Northerners think being rude to people is funny. It's not. Southerners are just chippy about Northerners, and it's really annoying. It's like you can never quite. I'm like, you need to relax, and you need to relax. So there you go. Okay, so yes, and I would also allow potentially. Well, you say you sleep well. That's great. You know, 11 to 12k steps daily average. Great. You're hitting the right amount of protein. Are you getting your creatine in? That will help, obviously, because it stores water in the muscle, and that will help. Potentially some magnesium supplementation. That's a big potentially, but it's kind of up to you if you want to try it and see. And those are the things that I would say, Emma.
Yeah, nothing to add. I think if it's long term, just do make sure that you're recovering well enough, that you're sleeping well. I mean, the most obvious things, it usually like not enough protein, not enough sleep, not enough time between sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to know. I think with all of these things, like it's just, I find it so interesting, like things like, oh, I'm a really hungry person, or I'm really fatigued or I get really bad DOMS. And sometimes I just wonder like what they're actually feeling. Like, is it a lot worse or is it you're not used to it or is it, but I think longer term it probably is that you're maybe just not used to it.
You see the thing that me and my friend were doing at the TikTok video we were trying to recreate with
Yeah.
the rolling. Shit, you're
Oh,
not.
you nailed it.
We definitely did not nail it. We looked like she rolled right into the wardrobe. Anyway, so we did that maybe. We tried to film that maybe three or four times, and that's it. We're just going at this moment. I swear to God, the DOMS in my glutes, like really, it's like, I guess it's like my piriformis. So painful. I was meant to train legs today, and I was like, absolutely not. And I was like, really? Just holding my legs open and rolling around for 15 minutes.
But
Oh,
that
that's
shows,
perspective.
right? It's not the intensity of the exercise, it's the novel stimulus. Like you've
New
never done
stimulus,
or
yeah.
not for a very long time.
I was like, clearly I need to do more abductor work, but I do abductor work. I do. So I was
Yeah,
like, this is.
but you do it in a controlled fashion. Like the
Yeah.
muscle is probably strong, it's just not used to being in that position.
Yeah. Which is reflective of how much sex I'm not having. Okay. Anything else on the live?
No, we're up to date.
Okay. Vicky Keelan, I do love seeing you back here, Vicky. Why I said the whole name again.
Oh gosh, she won't
Okay.
mind.
No, she won't mind. Morning, lovely ladies. I'm struggling a bit. I've lost 3 stone with you guys last year, and the weight is slowly but surely creeping back on. I've lost my way, and I can't seem to get back into it. I found tracking really easy, and it worked so well for me last time, but it seems a little harder for me this time. I know I just need a kick up the ass and to get on with some good, strong words from you guys. Look, guys. Me and Emma always talk about this, you know, the reset, the fact that even Emma and I, and everyone in our industry who you might look up to in terms of their lifestyle, their approach, or their physique, all of us sometimes find it harder than it was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. And there's so many factors with it, very obvious things like moving house, going through a breakup, a bereavement, whatever. And then there's like less obvious things like a habit creeped in there, and a week or two later, a habit creeped in there, and then a third habit. And then before you know it, 6 months down the line, and you've started to regain the weight you lost. And you just have to sit down and reset. We talk about curating your environment, and that doesn't have to mean in terms of the kitchen cupboards, although that's a good place to start. That can mean in terms of everything. What can you do re your current life? And life is transitory, it changes all the time. This is why you have to reset because it gets away from you. What do you need to do for your current life to curate your environment to make sure you get to the gym 3, 4 days a week, to make sure that you're hitting a minimum of 60K steps at the end of the week, to make sure that you are hitting the 1800 calories and really focusing on protein in each meal? What do you need to do? And small steps, you know, we can build as we go. All clients are different. Some clients need to kind of ease in, and some clients actually do better when it's like, bang, that's what you have to do. Everyone's different. So have a think, have a sit down, have a reset, and understand that this is what it's going to look like the rest of your life. You'll have a great month, year, whatever, and then all of a sudden it'll get really hard for a bit, and then you'll go back. And this is just part of it. So yeah, those are my thoughts, Emma.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think everyone is like left to their own devices will sort of like regress to like,
Mean.
you know, like regression to the mean. Like everyone just sort of like I don't know, their habits start really good and then like this and this creep in or things become a little bit harder. And then before you know it, it looks like every day hasn't been that different, but actually your habits have become so far from the ones that you actually wanted to create. So I think one thing that really helps me, and I think given where you are and given you've done this before, I agree with Chloe that some people need to kind of ease themselves in. But I think probably what you need is like a push week of like, right, these are the targets. I'm going to be really strict for a week. Yeah, we get back to balance next week. But sometimes just being really strict then becomes a lot easier the next week to be like, okay, right, now I'm kind of settled in. Sometimes it is only a week of head down and focus that gets you back into that routine. And then you can, like, yeah, just continue with a little bit more flexibility. So I would set yourself range targets, well, based off the videos that we've shown you. And then for the first week, try and be really close to that optimal side for you. Be quite strict with yourself. Like, you know, if you've got a bedtime, it has to be at that time. If you've got a calorie target, try and be closer to the optimal side. If you've got a step count, you're going to hit that optimal this week. And then next week, get back to kind of like a bit more balance within that range. I think that will really help you get reset, refocused.
Yeah, I love that advice. Well done, Emma. All right, anything else?
No, we're good.
Okay. Sarah. Hey fitties, here's a thing. I've been a variety of vegan slash vegetarian slash pescatarian for about 25 years now. I now realize that it was born from a terrible relationship with food, and it was an easy way for me to restrict what I would eat. Great self-reflection from you, Sarah. I'm really wanting to reduce the amount of ultra-processed foods in my diet as I eat a shit ton of meat replacement stuff, and I don't like that ultra-processed food makes up a large proportion of your diet. Neither do we. And if it's not for moral or ethical reasons or environmental reasons, I would much rather that you slowly but surely transitioned back to being even just a pescatarian to replace those ultra-processed foods that are now making up your diet. That I would only say for people who are doing it for this kind of reason, as opposed to people who are like, no, I'm a vegetarian because I believe in it. Anyway, I'm also quite keen on researching the environmental impact of corn type products. And basically I'm really rethinking the whole thing now. So the Vera, Emma, what is it that you will turn this a lot more knowledgeably than me, the kind of the same impact that cows have on on the environment is also being had in another context with soy production or overproduction. I can't remember the statistics or
I
what
don't
it
know the statistics on that. But yeah,
It's really.
I think it is really important. I think this is so interesting because you're trying to think about the real underlying reasons why you're making the food choices that you're making, which is so good in regards to self-reflection. I think you still like be very critical of your decisions and keep questioning them because I think even with the ultra-processed food, I do notice that some people, again, I kind of
Get
like don't
obsessed.
know, right? Because I'm not in their head, but intent's important. So if you're like, oh, now it's ultra processed food and I can't eat that, like, is that another way for you to limit your food intake? And realistically, some kind of balance between it all is by far the best, right? Like, you are going to have a very restrictive diet and life, to be honest, if you're avoiding all ultra processed food. And there's just absolutely no need to do it. Some ultra processed food is actually probably, well, at least processed. Again, it kind of depends how you're defining ultra processed. Like, some of it just seems so ridiculous. It's like, oh, technically yogurt is ultra processed, like, or flavored yogurt is, like, it's just think, use a bit of common sense with some of it. Like, sure, having a high protein yogurt every now and again certainly isn't the end of the world. Like, just because it, technically it's ultra processed food doesn't make it the same impact on your body is like, I don't know, a deep fried donut or something. Like, I think there should be a bit more common sense with it.
I agree. And Emma, didn't you speak to someone or you read something that you referenced in the last VC method for this exact topic? I can't, or it was a
Yeah,
book.
Hannah Ritchie is an incredible researcher on it. She has a book out now and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but if I will try and find it and send that if you're interested. Like, that's the best place I would go for information. I don't know the exact surround soy production.
I'll look at it and I'll put up a reference. But I read about it the other day. And so if I'm going to be totally honest, it's completely gone out my head. But there is absolutely an argument to be made that going vegan or vegetarian and certain choices of food produce are having just as bad of an impact on the environment as methane, for example. But I.
I think especially on that point, like, you're absolutely right. It depends how the food has got here, right? Anything that's like flown over, even if it's vegan, like, it doesn't freaking matter. Like, if you've flown over avocados, like, they've got a huge carbon footprint, right? Way more than, I don't know, the eggs that you could get from the local farm shop or something. Or even not the
Absolutely.
eggs from the local farm shop, even just eggs from like Britain somewhere. But yeah, there are, if you're doing it for that reason, if you're doing it because you're like, I want to change my diet to because I want to have a lower carbon footprint, I really care about the environment and I don't want to, I want to see if I can help in some way, cut out red meat.
And
And
eat
that
local.
would be by far the biggest thing that you could do. And then, yeah, there are some other changes, but that would be like the biggest bang for your buck.
While we're on eggs and imported meats and everything, obviously, like, just so everybody knows, there is a massive salmonella outbreak at the moment on poultry produce coming from Poland.
I'm
So,
sorry, everybody knows. This is news to me.
I was news to me. I was watching the news last night before I completely crashed out at 9 p.m. or 8:30, which for me is early. But I fell asleep watching the poultry Polish produce report. So basically, there's been a massive salmonella outbreak from poultry produce, both eggs and chickens coming in from Poland, right? Now, for everybody, every single person, be aware of that. Try to eat British eggs, Lion stamped approved eggs, British chickens, because it's really bad. I think there's been like 3,000 cases in a really short space of time, and it's all linked to this. The main reason I'm flagging this is if you are pregnant, you should already know that the eggs you should be eating should be Lion stamped approved. And if they're not, do not have them runny, have them hard boiled, have them fully cooked through. But especially now, make sure they're Lion stamped approved. And especially with your chicken, if you're still eating poultry, make sure it is coming from the UK. We have really high standards here of poultry produce that isn't the same anywhere else, not in America, not in Poland. Here, it's a big coup for our food standards. So, no pun intended. To get it. Cool. Anyway, so it's something that I really want, especially if you're pregnant, you to be aware of. But to be honest, all of you should be aware because nobody wants fucking salmonella.
What happens when you get salmonella?
It's basically like a really severe type of bacterial food poisoning, and you can die. Like people have died in the last few weeks because of it. Not obviously, we know how to treat it in this country, but like I say, the way that we handle our produce, like our chickens get vaccinated, so this is not a problem for us. In America, that doesn't happen. They like, I think they dip a lot of their poultry in chlorine or something before it hits the, like, I don't know, it's weird. Poland, it's not a thing. So British, especially if you're pregnant. Okay. Okay, anything else in the live?
Vicky's just saying thank you. Definitely need to do a reset.
Yeah, it happens, but
Okay,
also
well, post it in the group. Be like, right, these are my range targets this week. This is what I'm gonna do. This is what I'm sticking to. I'm gonna commit to it for 7 days. I'm coming back to tell you in 7 days. Bam! Accountability. Oh,
Christmas.
Sam's just saying I had salmonella once and was sick for a week, lost 10 kilograms in a week.
Yeah. These people say it's like it feels like it's never gonna end. It's horrific. You're just vomiting, shitting, vomiting, shitting. But it's really serious. Like my friend Hannah, when she was younger, she went to Greece and she got it and she had to stay in hospital for 2 weeks out there before she could come home. It was really bad. Yeah. So be careful.
Oh my God. Oh, it's scaring me because I eat a lot of eggs. I mean, I don't
Yeah,
think
but
anyone in Poland,
just
but.
do Red Lion stamp approved. You ain't gonna get it. You can have it raw if you want. You'll be fine. It's just I just British
Some people
poultry.
do have it raw.
Yeah. And if it's Lion stamped approved, it's fine. But if you're getting it from abroad where they don't have those standards, food standards, re-poultry that we have in this country, you really have to make sure everything is fully cooked through. Whether it's not only just like a raw chicken, but like fucking eggs, everything.
Sam, I thought I was going to die. I lived on my own and was seriously dehydrated. I fainted on the way to get water. Oh my God.
Ugh.
I remember just having it for like food poisoning for 24 hours and thought I was going to die.
Oh God, if we talk about norovirus, I'm like, well, this is it. This is gonna see me off. I don't wanna live. And you think back to the days where you were healthy and you're like, I took it for granted so much.
Literally yesterday. Oh.
I had no idea how lucky I was.
Okay, right, we're upstate in the live.
Okay. We'll just do a couple more because Emma and I have got appointments at 4. Okay, Sarah. Oh no, we did this. Okay. Oh wait, shit. No, I didn't finish her question. I think we've already done it all though. I don't think I could ever eat meat again, as I really never liked it anyway. But what do you think of reintroducing chicken? Done in place of ultra processed, weird shaped fillets made of who knows what. I'll obviously have to learn how to prep and cook it first. Yeah, that is important. And everything we've just said. I think, yeah, reintroduce chicken and fish, to be honest, I think would be really good. But there's nothing wrong with like vegan products as long like as Emma said, most foods, like I just talked about chickens and being safe from salmonella, the fact that they've been in this country vaccinated means it's processed. Like that, right from that point, most foods have been processed and it's not always a bad thing. A lot of the time it's to stop you from dying. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but I do hear with what you're saying, there is a cliff edge re ultra processed. So if you're going for like a product that's got, I don't know, four or five ingredients in it, but it's largely made up of soy, for example. I wouldn't classify that as ultra processed. That's just how they need to make the product, and it's a good source of protein, and it is still plant-based. But yeah, when you're looking at the back of a packet and you just see a whole kind of paragraph of words that you can't pronounce, probably better to put it down and walk away. I do think reintroducing some chicken and fish, if you're okay with that, is going to be nutritionally beneficial for you. Okay. Okay, Vicky. Not a question, just an observation from my week one. There are so many awesome brackets, and I mean in the dictionary sense, not because it's common parlance. Awesome people in this group. Hear, hear. Some people really going through some life-changing stuff, but they're still here offering advice and cheering everybody else on. Thank you for everybody for being so selfless and so inspiring. And thank you to Clemma for giving us this platform. Oh, Vicky, thank you for saying that. I'm sure everyone will appreciate it. Emma and I do. And yes, it's not lost on us what a brilliant group we've got here at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Charlotte. First of all, huge thank you so much. I've been good this week so far. Quick question. I'm trying to work to failure as in I'm sticking to rep range of 10 and then I go down to 8 if I increase the weights. How much do you think it's best to increase incrementally? I'm doing the gym workouts. Okay, and then she goes on. I mean, I think if you can hit technical failure at 8 reps, make sure that you're lifting the heaviest weight you can. Emma, what do you think?
What do you, yeah, so I would just say lift as heavy as you can for the given rep range.
Yeah.
And let's say it's 8 to 10. Okay, well, let's say you can lift 10 kilograms for 8 reps. Wait until you can lift 10 kilograms for 10 reps, then increase the weight.
Yeah, here, here. We can't like tell you like when and where and how it's going to happen, so it'll be different for all of you.
Yeah. It does still sometimes surprise me that, like, I get it, when you're first starting out, like, it's a completely legitimate question to be like, why can't you tell us what weights to lift?
Yeah.
Then after a while, and sometimes people, like, you know, when you're like, but we don't know how strong everyone is, and people,
yeah,
you'd think that then people would just be like, oh yeah, obviously, how could you possibly know? But people are still like, no, I want to know what weights to lift. Like, we don't know.
We don't know. You know, how many weights does your body tell you that you can lift? I really need to get my hair done at some point. This 80s look is just not working much longer.
Oh, I think it's good.
Oh, thanks, babes. Okay, Charlotte. Charlotte. No, we just did this. God, Chloe. Okay, Lou. Hi, everyone. I'm looking for good plant-based sources of protein. Out with soy products and rough quantities to get up to 100 grams of protein. I don't mind experimenting with new recipes or ideas. Many thanks. So we talked about
this. By the way, this is the best kind of post to put in the group.
Yeah, that's
right. There's other people in there. Like, put it in the group. Be like, really looking for these. Actually, who was the person who just asked about like moving away from being vegan, vegetarian? But she's probably going to be able to answer and give you, you know, she's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
So definitely put it in the group because you've got everyone's ideas, not just ours. I think that those kind of posts are really good for the group.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think, yeah, that's the best answer for you for that question. Okay, last one. Jennifer, hello, Emma and Chloe. I have a question about lower body exercises. When I perform RDLs and squats, etc., I often get lower back pain. That builds in intensity and pressure. Is this likely down to my form? Maybe we need to have a look. Is it a weakness in this area? Is it a weak core or is there anything else? Is there any tips on how I can improve this? Thank you so much, Jen. Jen, do me a favor and film yourself doing all of these lifts. Upload them on the Facebook page, tag me, tag Emma to whatever, and we will tell you what looks wrong. It probably is form. However, you know, there is an argument that some people's anatomies just aren't suited for some lifts, which isn't the end of the world. You'll get just as good results in terms of hypertrophy on the machine. So don't worry about it if that's the case. But upload some form vids and we'll have a look. And I think we'll end it there. When's the next live? Friday at 3?
Yeah, we might have to move it if I'm on a train, but if not, we'll be there Friday at 3.
We can move it. I've got quite a free week, so that's fine. Okay, guys, have a lovely rest of the day.
All right. Bye, everyone.